11th.
November 11th, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag. Yeshayahu.
Psukim in Yeshayahu that we say when we daven.
Psukim in Yeshayahu that we say when we daven.
Already. A couple words of introduction. Yeah, we can start. I'm going to spend the first couple minutes doing a bit of review from last week, because most of you, I think, were not here, right? Who wasn't here? Who was here? Two or three. Okay. It won't be exactly the same, but a couple of minutes of review because of the weather, etc. And plus, we have to stall a little bit because I'm assuming a couple of people will come after the bris is over. Even though if you're at the bris, you have to go to the mill, so that's a rough call. Our main topic we're trying to do is understanding Sefer Yeshayahu. Last week's topic was intro to the book, and this week's topic was supposed to be psukim from Yeshayahu that we say during the davening. Now, I want to begin with the first pasuk. I'm pretty sure. What's the first thing we quote from Yeshayahu when we go to shul in the morning? Matavo Alecha Yaakov is not Yeshayahu. Is that from? We call Bilam. Is that great? We start with a goy. That's great because they see us much better than we see ourselves. Wait, are we on the tape? We're on. Okay. But anyone know where the first time we really quote from Yeshayahu is? Well, that's way later. Early. Okay, I'll give you a hint. You guys are stumped. This is just for warm up. Because that's good. My drop of Zion, isn't it? Okay, there's in the morning blessings. You're so tired you didn't notice. Okay? What pasuk is that? What bracha is that? You were so tired you didn't realize it's from Yeshayahu. Ah, very good. Hanotein la'yev koach. Remember making the blessing in the morning? Right? Your haftarah, okay. Which haftarah is that? Lechacha, okay, sorry. Lechacha? And it could easily also be, it almost could have been Nachamu.
The way you're asking the question.
So take a look, just for the fun of it. Again, we're going to go back to the book in a minute. This is just to warm up. Look in Perek Mem, in Yeshayahu. And my, here, who needs, everyone needs a tanach today?
Who else needs?
Everyone have? Yeshayahu Perek Mem. Anyone needs a whole bunch more tanach? Came over here. And this is not a review of last week's share. This is a review of about a half a year ago, when I gave the Zionistic share about Deuteronomy Isaiah. Or it was somewhere between Zionistic and academic and Kfira and getting in trouble for. Where my claim was that if you read the so-called Deuteronomy Isaiah in real time, you understand his message. It has a real prophetic message you can apply for all generations. If you say that Yeshayahu is talking about what's going to happen 200 years later, it takes not only the meaning out of Yeshayahu, it takes the meaning out of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel as well. And I can't understand for life of me why the so-called yeshiva world is so against putting it where it belongs. In pshat. But it's like fighting City Hall. But let me explain why I'm doing this, because it's going to help us understand the book of Yeshayahu. I'm using this as a aid to start the day, because you're tired after the coffee, and the pen life koach, but also to get a feel for the book of Yeshayahu, and how when you study the book as a book, and understand its units, in giving meaning to davening. Because the morning blessings, what are they about? You ever pay attention?
Yeah, kind of going through your steps.
Yeah, that's a trick. That's shtick. Okay. Going through your steps. The rabbis are using your morning routine as shtick to do something much more important. Not just to thank God that I woke up in the morning. It's to remind myself of my relationship with God. For example, Hanotein l'sech v'vina. And that's not about a rooster. That's from Eov. Remember, when God answers Eov from the Sarah, from the rope, Eov's got issues, doesn't he, with God? He's got questions. What's this?
A couple of problems.
Yeah. And God's answer in a nutshell, I mean, oversimplifying God's answer in Perek Memchet, but God answers them from the wind. Remember, everything in between, you can argue, it's hard to understand, but Eov has issues, his friends have their issues with Eov, and they have with each other, and it's a great dialogue going back and forth. But finally, at the end of the book, God gives his answer. And basically, it's like a parent telling a two-year-old, I can't begin to explain with you why you can't put those little wires into that little funny smiley face in the wall. You don't understand electricity. You understand, but don't you dare do it. You can't begin to understand. And I'm not going to start explaining you electricity and conductivity. Just, you're not there yet. Just don't do it. Or basically, you can't understand. Listen to mommy and accept. And that's a kid's answer. But part of God's answer is, that's I think it's towards the end of the parak. He says, and who gave, sechvi there means the heart, or the really referring to the brain. Who gave the human heart understanding? How do you know to mafchin bein tovara? How does human know to question God? What gives him the ability? What's this being who's able to sit back and review and question and ask what's going on? Your whole ability to ask these questions about God is from God. So what are you complaining? What are you complaining to? So it's a beautiful answer, and it's a great way to start the day in your relationship with God. Another great one there in the morning is like Rabbi Sharumim. I'm sure you know where that's from. Rabbi Sharumim. We're not thanking God because he dresses dolls.
Adam and
Chava. Yeah. That's Adam and Chava, but more than just Adam and Chava. It doesn't say that God is Rabbi Sharumim. It says more than that, because the whole sin in Gan Eden story. I'll give one more little example. It's okay, we're just stalling till the first part is over. Take a look for a minute in Perek Aleph and Breshit. Perek Aleph and Breshit. Actually, Perek Bet and Breshit. Look at Perek Bet and Breshit. And just tell me real quick, what's the logic of the Christian division between Perek Bet and Gimel? Something real simple. We can gain something from the Christian division. And why our division is different. Look in your Koran. Okay? Just look for a second. What's the main difference between... What differentiates Perek Bet from Perek Gimel? It's as easy as could be.
Perek Gimel is a chet.
Perek Gimel is clearly the sin in Gan Eden. Right? And Perek Bet is?
Adam.
Okay, Adam or God or Gan Eden. But God creates Gan Eden in Perek Bet. Puts man in Gan Eden and everything is fine. And in Perek Gimel begins the sin. Correct? Simple as can be. Now, if so, what should be the first pasuk of Perek Gimel? Aleph? Or the last pasuk of Perek Bet?
You would think it's the last pasuk of Aleph.
Yeah. The logic is, how come he begins with Anachash Yarum? Arum? He entices. The sin starts with Anachash, doesn't it? Now, look at the last pasuk of Perek Bet.
Innocent.
Yeah. What's that about? They were both what? They're both naked, right? Which seems like a continuation of creation of man in Gan Eden. Because what was beforehand? God made man, and made male and female, right? And that was it. And by the way, you should know they were both naked, and they didn't embarrass them at all. No. That's if I'm reading in order. But when I read the story of Gan Eden, that nakedness is key to the story. Because as soon as they eat from the tree, what did they do? Oh my gosh, we're naked.
They're not innocent, and they
make a fig leaf. They cover themselves up. You know the fig leaf thing. And then when they run away from God, God says, "Why are you hiding?" Man answers, "I'm naked." Then God tells him, "Who told you you were naked?" Now, how does that story end? Before they kicked out of Gan Eden, what's the last line of the story? What? Yeah, we'll find out. What pasuk is it? Chafalaf, right? What's God do? He makes them big day kuna. I'm not kidding. He makes them tonot or by yal bishem. End of the story. Story ends. If the story ends with God makes them clothing, then what's from a literary point of view? What pasuk begins the story? By yushem arumim loy pashashu. So if we're going to start a unit, don't start it with pasuk aleph and perek gimel. If you're reading carefully, the unit begins with the last pasuk and perek bet. Now the parsha division includes the whole thing together. That's cool. We're not learning Bereshit now and parshiot. Now, but when I understand that literary unit and the idea that clothing and nakedness is a key underlying theme in that unit that explains about man's relationship with God, then I'm taking advantage. Listen to what Chumash does, what the Brachot do. I'm taking advantage of a mundane activity of getting dressed in the morning and using it to regulate my relationship with God. It's beautiful what Brachot HaShachar are. It's Chabad, we just mumble them off. And if you don't know your Chumash, you can't begin to understand how deep they are. Now, the theme, one of the biggest themes in creation is man has to understand that there's a quantum difference between man and animal. Because it's very easy for man to assume that he's a super duper ape. that he's part of the animal kingdom. That's Darwin. There's a lot of good proofs because there's tons of similarities between humans and animals.
Just one.
What?
That's Adam 1.
I don't want to get to Adam 1 and 2 because it's Adam 1, both Adam 1, both Perek Aleph and Perek Bet deal with the difference between man being different than animal, but being similar to animal. Now, what is man? Okay, he is similar to animal, but he's also something godly about him. He's Tzelem Elohim, that's Perek Aleph. And he's in the service of God in Perek Bet. But for man to recognize that he's different than the animal kingdom, that's where religion begins. Then there's room for man to have a connection to God. There's something godly about his existence. Even though he's rooted in an animal kingdom. Now, that recognition, that even though I'm an animal, there's something godly about me, and I have to develop what's called my neshama. Right? That's key to religion, even before you get to Judaism. It starts off the book. Now, one of the best reminders to man that he's different than animals, even though he's so similar, is his need for clothing. Correct? Right? Man's need for clothing is unique to mankind. Right? There's no Macy's for...
For dogs.
Okay, yeah. Understand? And therefore, when I'm taking this mundane activity of getting dressed in the morning, I need to remember one of the underlying themes of what I learned in Sunday school about the story of Gan Eden. So I'm just bringing an example that Berchot HaShachar are one after the next. We're taking our mundane activities and not thanking God, oh, you gave me clothes. I'm thanking God I'm reminding myself of the nature of my relationship that's going to stay with me the rest of the day. Like most of the evening. I call it spiritual breakfast. Now we're ready for Yishayel, but for King King. Right. One of the blessings we make, Hanotein La'yayiv Koach. Where's that from? Okay. It's in Perek Mem. Find it for me. Perek Mem. Yishayel. Yishayel. Who needs the Tanakh? Everyone? That's it? No, we take down there. We have 20 here.
That's it. Good one.
We're good.
Good one.
Okay. Look at Perek Mem. Hanotein Leiv Koach. Where's the Bar Mitzvah boy? What pasuk is it? What? Perek Chavtet. I mean, Perek Mem, pasuk Chavtet.
Yes.
Let's take a quick look. Chavtet, still there? Okay. Yeah. Now, let's start from Chavtet where the Parshia begins. Chavzayin, I'm sorry. Lama Tomar Yaakov, v'tedeber Yisrael. Why is Am Yisrael saying God doesn't see what's happening to me? You have this feeling of I'm being neglected. Not that I don't believe in God, but God, that's what he's abandoned me. This feeling of abandonment, is over. Okay, yeah? It's over them. What's God's answer? Now, why does Am Yisrael feel abandoned? For a good reason. If you understand the real time, they're in exile. They've been in exile for 40, 50 years already, and they haven't come back. And they have the feeling that all the prophets told them the temple will never be destroyed, and it was destroyed. They went into exile, and everyone assumes God left them. Maybe rightly so, but the religion is over. The prophetic message, what we described as Deuteronomy Isaiah was, it's not comfort, it's not a Shiva visit, that I hear you're lost, I'm with you, identify, etc., just sitting and listening. It's a call to action. That it's time to get up from Shiva and go back. And God's saying, wake up and look at history, the rise of Koresh to power, and the change of the fall of Babylonia and the rise of Persia, and Cyrus's decree that you can go back and build your temple, is God screaming at you to return, even though you think you've been abandoned. And therefore, the prophet in real time is giving the most important message to Am Yisrael, don't give up hope, there's something you can do. We did this year more in detail a half a year ago, but we didn't talk about this pasuk. So therefore, Am Yisrael is saying, the Navi is telling them, why do you feel abandoned? Okay. And he talks about how God gives power and strength to those who are tired. Who's tired? Remember the feeling, it's too much for me. Okay. For a redemption process to begin, to a people that feel abandoned and in despair and give up hope totally, they need what they call in English nowadays chizuk. They need strength. And what will be the source of that strength? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now, just give a couple examples of that.
Look in Pasuk, in Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Chet. Also in Haftorah, isn't it? It's also Lech Lecha? Should be. Look in Pasuk Chet in Perek Mem Aleph, which is a continuation. V'ata Yisrael di Yaakov asher b'charticha zer v'mahavi. You know, Israel, the nation I chose to serve me. Abdi Yaakov, and I chose you, the Zer of Abraham, who I love and chose out of love. I've called upon you from all corners of the earth of your exile. I'm calling upon you to return. Listen what he says now. You're still working for me. I didn't fire you. Listen carefully. Right. What, it's clearly, what are the people thinking? Ma'us means you feel rejected. And therefore the Navi is saying, don't give up hope. Just again, we did this just one last pasuk to put the klitcher on it, and then we can start back to our main topic. In Memchet, the end of Perek Memchet, just to prove the point. This we did in that share. In Perek Memchet, pasuk Chaf. Tzubi Bavel, Birchumi Kazdim, Bikorina, Hagidu Ashmir Zot Tutzil At Ksearet, Imu Gaal Shem Teato Yaakov. What's God doing? The message is so crystal clear. In Perek Memchet, he mentions Koresh. Get out of exile, I'm redeeming you. You're still working for me. Don't give up hope. It's such a powerful call of prophecy for Am Yisrael to return. And the phrase, right, in the beginning, that God says that you're tired and you're worn out and you can't attain Leif Koach. It's so powerful if you understand Yishayel and understand the setting. Again, I don't want to do the whole unit again, but I just wanted to bring an example of the morning. Remember, we're talking about what we quote from Yishayel. Hey, I wanted to give a little example of how to appreciate Berchot HaShachar, which is a whole separate topic. We didn't get into all the negative blessings, you know, the ones that that we have problems with nowadays. That is easy to answer as well. Notice those aren't psukim; those are add-ons. But I don't want to start that topic. Let me summarize. I simply want to bring one example. When we quote from Yishayahu, if you understand the source in Yishayahu, it gives meaning to davening, and that's the goal of today's shir, is to take a couple of psukim from Yishayahu that we quote every day, and when I take into consideration the structure of the book, I can appreciate what they're doing. Now we get to the structure of the book and what we talked about last week. What we did last week is we did a little mini class, and we went through the book and identified units. We won't do that again, but one of the units was from chapter 40 to the end, which is usually referred to as Deuter Isaiah. And the proof that that was a new unit is that beforehand, in Prakim Lamed Vav to Lamed Tet, was an historical appendix, which is the easiest part of Yishayahu to read, because it's right out of Sefer Malachim. It's a story of the fall of Yehuda to Sancheriv, to the Assyrian assault, Lachish being destroyed, almost all of Israel being wiped out, and Jerusalem being saved at the last minute, as God said he would, which goes right back to Perek Yud Aleph in Yishayahu, which hopefully we'll get to today, which is God's promise of what's called Melech HaMashiach, of the return, which is the end of the first unit of Yishayahu, which we're going to see in a minute. What we explained then is that the reason why we have an appendix to the book, the so-called Deuter Isaiah, is because what Yishayahu was hoping for in Perek Yud Aleph, his nevuah of redemption of Perek Yud Aleph, actually happens, you know, it comes true 150, 200 years later in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. And because it's being fulfilled, that's why I explained why Chazal added as an appendix to the original Yishayahu what we call Deuter Isaiah. Okay, but then I don't want to get into detail on that one. Now what we're going to do now is we're going to go back and see the beginning of the book. Okay, now the share officially starts. First, whoever was at the breast came. And skipping the middle of the breast and coming to share, that's gets extra points. Unless your share is going to be going on until 10 o'clock anyhow. Then you're saving the speeches. Now, when we study Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu and Yechezkel, what was the first chapter of Yirmiyahu about? The first chapter of Yirmiyahu, what was the main topic? There's a category. There's something that the first chapter of Yirmiyahu and the first chapter of Yechezkel have in common. What would you expect the first chapter of a book to be about?
Pending doom.
No, much simpler than that. It's called Hakdasha. Hakdasha meaning appointment. Understand? When a Navi is appointed, or usually it's because God's disappointed, so then a Navi is appointed to give over a message of doom. The first Perek in Yirmiyahu is God appointing Yirmiyahu. Remember, he doesn't want to take the job. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember? He says, I'm not worthy for the job. I don't have smicha yet. Remember, he has us all. We did that with Yirmiyahu, didn't we? Then, and God proved, remember, I'm a kid, but I'm still in training. And he proves to you, listen, he proves to Yirmiyahu, don't tell me you're in training. I'll prove to you that you are a Navi. He gives him a vision, and he sees it. Remember, says he tested him. Looks like a charm. Now, Yechezkel, his first vision, remember, the Masa Merkava, is when he's appointed. Again, when God's very disappointed. And it would only make sense that the first parak of a Navi is his appointment. When we get to Yishayahu, we don't have that, do we? The first parak of Yishayahu is a beautiful haftarah, but it's not about the Navi being appointed. Now, is there a parak in Yishayahu about the Navi being appointed? That's Vav. That's a classic. That's a haftarah from Yisro, isn't it? And that we're going to quote in davening. Where in davening do we quote parak Vav? Thanks to the Christians. What? Yeah, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Which, they beat us to it. I won't tell you that. That's a different topic. One day we'll do a show on that. How Kedusha got into our liturgy. Yeah, you understand why they like that one? In their early, they also davened. It's a three, yeah. Yeah. So we make sure not to understand it. Why did we read the Tirgum? To make sure I understand what each kadosh is. It's a counter. It's a beautiful counter. But they make sure to get that in the Siddur. Everywhere you turn, you put that in the Siddur, don't you? Every chance you get, you make sure you understand what kadosh, kadosh, kadosh means. Now we have to see today what's it really mean in Yishayahu. It's beautiful. Hopefully we'll get there. But to understand that, we have to realize that's the parak where Yishayahu is appointed, or seems to be appointed. If there's one parak where he's appointed, it's that parak. Is that the first time he's appointed? We can argue. But it's not the first chapter of the book. But that chapter, parak Vav, delimits a previous unit. Because if I'm looking historically where the book begins, it has to be in Perek Bet. Because look at the first line of Perek Bet. This we did last week. I'll just show it. We went through the book looking for headers. And why is the first pasuk in Perek Bet a header? Because it's a header. Hadavar Sher Chazai Yishayahu Ben Amotz. Al Yoshev Yehuda Yerushalayim. It's a header. And that header continuously until Perek Vav. And therefore, Perek Bet through Hay is a unit. And that's going to be our main goal today because there's a lot of davening comes from Bet to Hay. We'll get to Bet to Hay in a minute. But again, I want to review. We identified last week, going through the whole book, that Perek Bet begins a unit, and then that unit continues until the end of Perek Hay. And there's something that ties it together. Perek Vav stands alone, which people call the Nebuah of Hakdasha, his appointment. And look how Perek Zayin begins something new. Remember? What's special about the beginning of Perek Zayin? There's a day. It's the time of Achaz. And then we have a continuous Nevuah until the end of Perek Yud Bet. Let me review that, because for those who weren't here last week, was the first thing we identified, there's a clear-cut unit from Perek Bet through Perek Hay, inclusive, which we're going to deal with today. There's a unit, Perek Vav, that stands alone, which seems to be that should have been the first chapter of the book. And then there's another unit from Perek Zayin to Perek Yud Bet. How do we prove Yud Zayin to Yud Bet was a unit? Because look at Perek Yud Gimel. Right? And it's clearly a new ballgame. Because those are the Masa'ot, starting from Perek Yud Gimel, Ot Tel Chav Gimel, every unit is a Masa of a different nation. A Masa is a prophecy of doom to one of our enemies, which the Jews love to hear. They love to hear the prophet saying what's going to happen to our enemies. And then, the word Masa comes up a lot, but maybe we didn't explain that enough last week. Last week we just identified it. The people of Israel love hearing rabbis rant on our enemies, don't they? What's going to happen? There's going to have the earthquake, the all these things, and God's going to come and destroy them because they're enemies. Now, in the middle of all of this, take a look at Perek Chaf Gimel in Yishayahu. It's a great one. It's one of the Masa'ot. Look at, as you go from Yud Gimel through Chaf Gimel, just notice every single unit is a Masa. Mm-hmm. See the different nations? Mm-hmm. There's Pleshet, and there's Tzor, and there's lots of Masa'ot. And it's all about God's going to come and punish our enemies. Thanks with the help of Ashur a little bit. Now, in Perek Chaf Chet, in Perek Chaf Bet, we have a very interesting header. Who's that? Who's Perek Chabet about? It doesn't say Yerushalayim. What's it called? Masa? Gei Chizayon. Oh. Now, when you read the Perek, it's about who? It's about Yerushalayim. You can't miss it. It's no, the Psukim are in the old city, next to the blood wall, if you're familiar there. It's beautiful. Again, we're not learning that Perek now, but I want to just give you an example of how understanding the structure of the book gives meaning to it. Because in the middle of this ranting on all of our enemies, how God's going to destroy them, what does Yishayahu sneak in?
Yeah,
you're one of them.
Oh.
Yerushalayim is going to get it also. Perek HaBet. It's usually Perek HaBet in Israel, they always give that, like for a, that's always what's called the unseen.
Yeah.
Unseen, when you give a test, you give a certain chapter that they never studied in school, and see how they're able to read it based on the tools they learned during the year. So what they always love to do is they give that one as the MC. Yeah. But everyone saw it beforehand because they do the same thing every year. Because the kids are always smarter than the teachers. Yeah. Now, those are the units that we saw, and let me just finish now. Now, I'll review the units one more time. Aleph was a standalone. We'll get to it very soon, because that's right. That's going to be our first source in davening. Bet Tehei. In historical order, is the first unit of the book from the time of Uziel. We'll prove why. That's Uziel, that stands alone as a unit. Perek Vav appears to be the Hakdasha. We have to see when it happened. Perek Zayin has a clear date stamp. Achaz, it takes us right to Chizkiel. And it takes us till the end of Perek Yud Bet, delimited by Perek Yud Gimel. And the key chapter there is the famous Perek Yud Aleph with what's called the Mashiach, which seems to be talking about Chizkiel. Now, it takes us to the end of Yud Bet, which is Abdullah. We'll get to it very soon. Then Perek Yud Gimel, Chav Gimel, the Masa'ot. And then we talked about Chav Dalet through Lamed Hei, which was poetry. We called it the poetic Isaiah. We didn't understand a word, but we just saw the poetry. And for, as far as style goes, you can't miss the fact that his style was special here. As poetic as could be, to the point that the academics say it's a different prophet, I think it's ridiculous. The same prophet can have different styles. The same prophet can write. Humans do that also. Why can't a prophet do that? And the style difficult to understand, but as far as beauty, they're tremendous. But that's another unit. Lamed Vav Lamed Tet was a history, which is an appendix to the book, which in my opinion closes the book. Just like we have an appendix in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel in a very similar way, explaining the history. And then what we call from Nun, from Mem to the end, the last 26 chapters, 27 chapters, what's called Deutra Isaiah, which I explained was not a book about comfort, but rather a call to action. The Navi is telling, as a fulfillment of what Yishayahu said in Perek Yud Aleph, is happening 200 years later with Shibat Zion, and as we talked about in the beginning. Okay, now we get to davening. Okay, let's start with Perek Aleph and explain why it's Perek Aleph, even though it shouldn't be Perek Aleph. But Perek Aleph cannot be in chronological order. This can't be. We'll read why. Because we'll see. We'll try to figure out the time period. But what I want to pay attention to in Perek Aleph is how the Navi acts as a commentator on Chumash. How the Navi is using Chumash and expects his reader to know his Chumash. Because if you don't know your Chumash, you won't begin to get his message. Now, what psukim don't belong in the Perek? What psukim are the redactor? What psukim are not Yishayahu in the beginning of the Perek? Perek Aleph. What? Aleph. Yeah, why is that? And why is that added? Because the reader needs to know who this Navi is and where it's coming from. What are the first words of the Navi? Shimush Shamayim Bazinu Aretz. Where is that coming from? That's Shirat Hazinu. It should be obvious, isn't it? It's clearly Shirat Hazinu. Does Shirat Hazinu have a theme?
No, it's a glorification.
Hazinu is a glorification of God? I wish. What? Hazinu? Maybe it's Yashir.
It's
what?
There's Adim
what's going to
be in the
future. There's Adim to listen to the Shir, because we need it forever. But there's a theme. The theme? The theme is simple. Who to blame? Who are you supposed to blame when things go wrong? And because who does Am Yisrael usually blame when things go wrong? God, because he promised in the Bible. So he promised a fairy tale, and life's not a fairy tale. And Hazinu reminds you that if things go bad, don't blame God, blame yourself. Look at your history. And when bad things happen to Am Yisrael at the national level, right? Don't blame it on God, blame it on somebody else. Blame it on another faction of Judaism, blame it on don't blame it on your cheder, blame it on a different shevet, on a different tribe. And then at the end it says no matter how bad it gets, there's always a safety net, A, because of Chilo Hashem, and because God sooner or later is going to come and save you, so that you ideally should do it on your own, but sooner or later there'll be a safety net. But how much you're going to suffer until that pulls in the safety net can become very ugly. And that's your tazidu, but we have to know not to blame God, but to blame ourselves, and to also to know that no matter how bad we are, it's a Catholic marriage, and he can't get rid of us. Now, but look later on. Now, why would Yishayahu be mentioning something like that in his time period? Because in the time period of Yishayahu, what's happening? It's never been worse.
Yeah.
It's never been worse. Now we have to do the history. Maybe next time we'll do the... remember we had that sine wave?
Yeah. But the northern kingdom is being marched
out. When Yishayahu begins his career, who are the kings when Yishayahu begins his career? It says so in the first pasuk. Yerobam. I mean, it's the time of Uziel. It begins with Uziel, then Yotam Achaz Chizkiyahu. When Uziel was king, things have never been better since the time of Shlomo. Uziel and Yerobam ben Yoash up north had the greatest kingdom that Israel ever had since the time of Shlomo. We'll read about it in a second. Things have never been better. And that'll be the background to Perek Bet. We'll see in a minute. And things were tremendous. And there wasn't that much idol worship. It wasn't as bad. And the idol worship from the time of Achav and the time of Asa, etc., from the earlier time periods, Yehu got rid of them. Ataliah brought it in. And who got rid of them? Who got rid of Ataliah? Yehu got rid of the northern side and Yoash. Yoash and Amatziah leads up to Uziel. And the country's growing. Aram has fallen, and me and Ashur hasn't become a superpower yet. And there's this opportunity of greatness, which is going to be the background of the Perek Bet. We're at what's called a Tukufa Mashichi. We're almost there. We're almost at the highest level possible. And things are going great. From there on, it's all downhill. And who comes and takes over? Ashur becomes a new superpower. And little by little, by the time you get to Achaz, and then through Chizkiyahu, Ashur wipes out that entire empire. First the northern tribes, and wipes out most of Yehuda. And Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. During that time period, especially under Chizkiyahu, the Jews have never been firmer. What Chizkiyahu does in the beginning of his reign, and therefore, when Ashur is so successful, and there's so much damage and so much loss to the Assyrians, who does the nation blame? The nation blames God. Why shouldn't they? They're praying, they're davening the Beit HaMikdash, they're praying left and right, and God's not helping them. So either there is no God, or God left them. But they're angry with God, and they feel rightly so. We daven you, you don't answer our prayers. Now, Yishayahu has to answer that question of the people blaming God for the disaster. And if you know the background, Chizkiyahu was as firm as could be compared to Ahaz, his father. Ahaz brought in idol worship. Ahaz got rid of all that idol worship, renovated the temple. He did this massive Passover. There was no greater tshuva than Chizkiyahu did. He got rid of the Bamot. And after all that, Ashur wipes out Lachish, which was the biggest city, and all the big cities of Yehuda, and Yerushalayim is under siege. Boy, the people were angry. What's the point of worshipping God? It got us nowhere. What does the Nabi have to do? He has to explain it's your fault. And he comes out of left field, he comes up with this idea, you know what's bad? Your society. You know, you're not being kind, you're not, all this Christian stuff. And nobody buys it. Now, when I do that, I need to understand why. You'll see when you read Perek Aleph, it's talking about the time of Chizkiyahu. It's talking about when things are being destroyed. Artzachem Shmama, we'll read it in a minute. It's clearly a later time period. It's not Uziel. But it's Yishayahu's main message. It's his legacy, the first one. And why is he invoking imagery from... from Azinu, because his point is this key point of Azinu. It's not just something poetic in the beginning. To appreciate the opening words of Yishayahu, you have to realize Shimu Shamayim Azinu Aretz, It's from Shurat Hazinu and its content. Ki Hashem diber, diber milashon. Diber, like
the command.
Not just a command, but something harsh. Yeah.
Did you just say that Eric Olive is in Christiano's time?
Yeah, it's later. Yeah.
But how do you know that from the text?
In history, I'll show you. Here, read Pasuk Zayin. Okay? Artzechem shmama, arechem surfot esh, admotechem venetchem zarim ochlim otah, shmama kemakavet zarim. Do I need more than that? That's not Uziel. That's Ashur wiping everybody out.
The locusts have come.
Yeah. Yeah. Bacharag, kumimunat kemikshah kirin tzurah. Understand? There's no doubt that Perek is later. You can't miss that. And therefore, it can't be from Uziel. What? Okay, yeah. And was it Haftara? Was it, should have been born in Tisha B'Av time. No. And therefore, he describes how bad things are in his opening line. So we explain why he uses Shemot Shemaim and why he uses the imagery from Hazinu in his time period. And it's interesting. Instead of having the first parak something boring about how he's appointed, instead his opening parak is his primary message. It's a big punch. Thematically, it's beautiful. Now, look at the next parshia and pasuk yud, and tell me what he's doing here. Okay. What's the parallel between pasuk yud and pasuk bet? But look, follow the parallel. I want you to appreciate Yeshayahu. What? Who can explain? Someone said beautiful.
Calling different set of witnesses from a tremendous biting irony.
Yeah.
Well, but again, he's going back to Chumash to make a point in terms of why this is happening to you.
But a double one. Where's he going back to Chumash? But more than that. Compare it to Pasuk Bet. His opening Pasuk, Shimu Shamay Bazinu Aretz, and now he's widening it. Now it's Shimu who? Shimu Dvar Hashem Ksine Zdom. Hazinu, it's Shimu Bahazinu. Right? Then instead of Shemayim Ba'aretz,
speaking to the people
down on earth. And what's he describing this?
As Sdom
Ba'aretz. You understand? Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And what's his complaint? The way you're acting is like Sdom Ba'aretz, and that's why, that's who to blame. Now, what were they doing wrong? We have to see. Yeshayahu says what they're doing wrong. He follows Ramban. Lucky Yeshayahu had the Ramban. Remember how Ramban explains Sdom Ba'aretz? There's a lack of Hachmasat Torchim. No guests allowed. Ramban explains, based on Yechezkel and based on Yeshayahu, that the sin of Sdom had nothing to do with sodomy. It had to do with lack of Hachnasat Torchim. When you follow Chumash, easy to prove. Mm-hmm. Now, and then look what he says next. Lama li rov zivchechem yomar Hashem. Sabat yolot delim, v'chelem reim. Now, when you know the history of Chizkiyahu and his tremendous tshuva and the korbanot he brought, and renovating the Mikdash, you understand exactly what this is. The people complain to God, how come you left us? How come you let Ashur wipe us out? And God's answering, because for the same reason I destroyed Sdom, I let Ashur come and destroy you. And you didn't listen to me. You didn't read Chumash. Well, you scanned, you went through Chumash picking out what you liked and didn't get the deeper message. Okay? He can't stand our Yom Tovim. We're not talking about the people who are serving other gods. They're serving our Kodesh Baruch Hu to the highest degree. Yom Tovim, Shabbatot, Korbanot, Tfilot, everything. And God says, I don't want it. Don't give me those presents. Okay? And then look in Pasuk Tetvav. Okay? When you daven, no preschem kapechem means? Daven with your hands up? Okay? Rachatzu izaku asiru roma lalechem mineger enai. Chidlu meharea, limdu etev dushu mishpat asur chamot, shiktu yadom ribo amana. Understand? Okay. That's the complaint. Now, I'm trying to show you that we need, if you don't know your chumash, right, you can't begin to appreciate. If you just read it like a haftarah, you won't begin to appreciate what's going on. But if you know the time period and the setting, and the psukim in Chumash that he's quoting, his message is as powerful as could be. Now, look in Pasuk Yud Chet. We got something from davening now. L'chuna v'nivacha yomar Hashem.
אם יהיו חתיכם כשנים כשלג יבינו, אם ידימו כתולה כתמר יהיו. When do we mumble that one? Yeah? Right before Shema Kaleinu? Especially in Yom Kippur.
Is there a period or a question mark at the end of that?
What do you mean?
Is he asking a question or is he making a statement?
He's saying that if it's possible to do tshuva, I can clean up what you've done wrong. Yeah. But in tmanu umritem, chev to uklu, kipi Hashem diber. You have one less chance to do tshuva. But it's not through davening, it's through fixing your society. Now look at Pasach Havalef, Echa. Echa, I tell us, unakira namana, maleti mishpat tzedek elimba. Batam batzrim, kaspechei alesigim, savech mo b'mayim. You see the corruption he's talking about? Sarech sorerim, v'chavrei ganavim. Kulo ohev shochad, rodev shamanim, yatom lo ishpotu, v'ri b'amana lo yavo alehem. Famous psukim? He's complaining about their society and the corruption. Lachinu Hashem, avi Yaakov, hoi nachem mitzaray, v'inagma mi'oivai. Who are God's enemies now? His own nation. Because it's, what I was trying to explain before, it's because they're so firm, he's so angry. If they were worshipping other gods and not waving the flag, I'm God's people. Okay, so they serve other gods and they're rotten in their society and they're corrupt. Okay, no harm done. But if you're waving a flag, I'm God's people, and you're claiming to be God's people, and you're praying to your God and serving Him, and when you come home from shul, you're corrupt and rotten and obnoxious and haughty, and that makes God look bad, God says, I can't let you continue. My claim is that because they're so firm, the punishment is so harsh. In other words, if you're waving a flag, I'm God's people, and you're claiming to be His people, then oy vavoy if your society isn't perfect. Then, in other words, you're taking a big risk by being so firm. And that's what Yeshayahu is telling them. Now, remember, this is the biggest, the harshest punishment Am Yisrael ever had up until this point is by Ashur. Nothing compares to what Ashur did to us. We were wiped out by Ashur. The 10 tribes, in the life of Yeshayahu, from the greatest high point to the lowest point. You understand why the people have given up hope totally? And they're sure that God's to blame. I want you to appreciate why Yeshayahu is so important. And who he's fighting? He's fighting the religious establishment because all the rabbis are telling them, daven, 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 pray, pray, pray. Temple, temple, temple. Including their king. Now, look at his last line, the one we quote all the time. Now we're right out of davening. Pasach Chafet. Vashibi yadi alayich v'tzrof kabir kabor tzigayich v'asir kol bedilayich. Gotta help get rid of the injustice, etc. Vashiva shoftach v'rishona v'yotzai kavatchila. Where's that from in davening? Is that right out of Shmoneh Esrei?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know this, not only this pasuk, but this background, you can't begin to appreciate Hashiva Shavtenu. And it follows what bracha? Kavash Shavar Gadol L'Cherutenu. In other words, when there's a call of redemption and God's willing to help us return, what do we need to do? We need to do Hashiva. It's a two-sided relationship. We're asking God to redeem us and save our history and bring us back to our nationhood, but we have to realize what we have to do, because we have to understand why we went out in the first place and what we need to do to be worthy to come back. And that's the next line.
There's an interesting,
yeah?
Interesting thing that
Yeah, how come it doesn't say Shoftim
B'Shotrim? Because it doesn't appear here.
But what does? The passes around.
AOS.
Okay, because he's not coming from Devarim, he's coming from Breshit. The key words here are tzedek and mishpat. That should be crystal clear. Now I want to show you why he's making such a big deal about tzedek and mishpat. I come to this other one. You pass these around. Oh, yeah. There we go. I mean, it's all in your chumash, but this is nice and bigger. I want to show you how Yeshayahu read Parsha Vayera, yeah, sure. And why he's building so many. No, there's plenty of these. Yeah, yeah, lots of them. I just lots. There's lots and lots of them. Yeah, no, here. There we go. There we go. It's just every other page here. No? No, no, no. I have them, but there's just every other page in my setup here.
There should be enough now for everybody? Here. Lots of them. Got lots of them. I should give you out the other page also. When you, here. There we go. Okay. What I want to do now is show you why Yeshayahu is making such a big deal about these two psukim of Tzedek u'Mishpat. Now, let's go to our first unit. Again, we'll get to this page in a minute. We don't need the page yet, actually. Everyone has? Everyone has more. I want to save one for me. Yeshayahu, who else needs? Give over there, they need also. They're over there. Pass them around. Like one for me.
Okay.
Give that okay, that's another. That's a different page. Oh, here, this page is good. This page is good. Now, I'm going to return to Perek Aleph in a minute. But I want to look at the first unit, which clearly is historically Uziel when things are great. Now, this read, I want to bring one solid proof about how good things are in the time of Uziel. Open up Melachim Bet. I just want to bring a nice, easy proof and take a little break and read simple Sefer Melachim. I want to show you how understanding the historical time setting is important to appreciate why Perek Aleph is Perek Aleph and why it's out of historical order. And in Sefer Melachim, Bet Perek Yudalet at the end. Melachim Bet Perek Yudalet. Again, what we're doing now, I simply want to establish crystal clear that the time period of Uziel and Yerovam, when the book begins, based on its header, things have never been better. Remember before, Avram was their enemy? Melachim Bet Perek Yudalet at the end. And we hear about another Nebi here as well. Perek Yudalet, Pasach Av Gimel. Bishnat 15 Shana Lamatzeh Ben Yoash Melech Yehuda. Malach Yerovam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael V'Shomon 41 Shana. The famous Yerovam, the second Yerovam. You've heard of him? Yerovam HaShemi. V'yasara Ben Yashem V'Sar Mikoch Hatot Yerovam Ben Nebat HaShechtit Yisrael. Even though he's bad, Pasach Av Heinam. The end of Yudalet of Malachim Bet. Hu Heshib Et Gvul Yisrael Milavo Chamad Ev Yam Harava. During the reign of Yerovam, Israel's border is all the way up into Syria, Labo Hamat, not Hamat, but on the way to Hamat. We're at our northern border like it was in the time of Shlomo. Why? As God had promised through his Navi, good old Yonah. Remember Yonah? Navi Yonah ben Amitan begat Chefer. Why did God help them even though they're not so good? What imagery is that? What's the Nabi quoting from? That's Shirat Hazinu again. But what's he explaining? Why was God good to us even though we weren't good? Because God pulled a safety net. Remember Shirat Hazinu at the end? Why is God going to come and save us even though we don't deserve to be saved? Remember Ephes Atzur Ephes Azu Venos Al Yisrael? Because of the Chilu Hashem, things are so bad. God is going to say, I'm going to come and help you, even though you might not deserve it. So there shouldn't be Chilo Hashem with what hope? Ru'ura Kianihu, to see it's me, and come back and do tshuva. Therefore, in the beginning of Yerovam, Ben Yoash, and we'll see it'll be the same time period as Uziel, God goes out of his way to be nice to the people, helps them. Avram falls, and before Ashur comes into power, and there's a chance for Am Yisrael to grow politically, nationally, and they do, economically, they prosper. God is hoping that prosperity will spark a religious revival, and that's Yeshayahu's first goal. And all the Nevi'im of this time period, not just Yeshayahu, it's Micha a little bit later, Hoshea and Amos, down north and up south, Hoshea, Amos, up north, and Yeshayahu down south. We did that. They're calling on the people to take advantage of this, see the hand of God, and reciprocate by being God's people the right way. Keep that in mind. Got it? Now, to understand Uziel, I need Divrei Hayamim because it's more detailed than Divrei Hayamim. Go to Divrei Hayamim Bet towards the very end. Chavav. Yeah. Perek Chavav. Perek Chavav, Amatziah dies. Perek Chavav in Divrei Hayamim Bet. You can just listen if you want. Vayichud kol Am Yehuda to Uziel, v'hu ben 16 shana, v'hamidichu totach al aviv. Who banat elot v'shvela Yehuda achrei shchov ha-melech ma'botav? After Matzah died, Uziel became king. He brought Eilat back to Israel's borders. Whoa. From Eilat down south to Levo Hamat up north, it's never been better. Like the time of Shlomo. Our borders have never been greater. Our army's never been stronger since the time of Shlomo. Our economy, we're talking about a golden age. And that's when we have this plethora of Nevi'im giving these messages. Now look how strong he was. He's 16 when he became king. You can skip a little bit. V'yasa Hashem b'nei Hashem, like Amatziah. And when he was Doresh Hashem, God was with him. Pasuk Vav, Vayitzei v'lechem b'plishtim, v'yifrus et chomat Gad, v'et chomat Yavne, v'et chomat Ashdod, v'yivne Arim. You see what he does? He takes over the coastal plain, which gives him control of the main highway. Pasuk Tet, this is a song in Israel. V'yivin uziyam migdalim b'yushan, ashar pina, v'ashar gai, v'amiksov echeskin. ויבן מגדלים במדבר, ויעשו ברות רבים, כי מזרב היו לו, עיקרים וחורמים, בערים וחרמל, כי אוהב אדמה היה. אומר, he was אוהב אדמה, remember that. ועוזיהו חי עושה מלחמה יוצא צבא לגדוד. That make my point? Okay. When Yishael begins his career, things have never been better. So why do we need a Navi? The Navi has to tell the people that this greatness and this prosperity is chesed from God. You might not deserve it, you're not there, but he's hoping that the people take this prosperity and channel it the right way. But he warns them, what's the warning going to be? If you don't take advantage of that, you're going to go, and who's God going to bring in to punish you? Ashur. Even though there are no big tzaddikim. In fact, there's a Navi who comes to get, at the same time period, to call upon Ashur to do tshuva.
Yeah.
We read about him in Yom Kippur, don't we?
Yeah.
And what city is that? Nineveh, which is the capital of Ashur. Do they listen?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They listen. Yeah.
They listen. And who doesn't listen? We don't. And Ashur becomes a nation who punishes us. You follow how Yonah fits into Torah Yasa. Now, let's go back now to Sefer Melachim. And I want to appreciate now the first unit, Perek Bet. Look at Perek Bet. This I know we haven't done yet. I mean, we just identified the unit. I want to show you what Perek Bet historically, chronologically, has to be the opening unit of Yishayel. Even before Verakov. Why? Perek Bet is so famous it made it to the UN. But a selective quote. How does it begin? Hadavar shechaza Yishayel al what? Al Nabi Yerushalayim. Okay. And you'll figure out in a minute when it's happening. Okay? Which means what? If you follow the word achari, it doesn't mean at the end of days. It means the next. For acharon is the next generation. Acharon, acharon, chaviv. Acharon usually means next. What?
Sarah is told.
Tashana acharit means next year. The door acharon mesaprim tilot Hashem. Acharon, he put Leah and Hirshon achronim, and then Leah achronim. When it's acharon, acharon, chaviv, means next. Now, the last next is Achron. And every Gabbai knows, or everyone that doesn't like the Gabbai knows, that when you hear an Achron, that means there's more coming. Isn't it? If there's one Achron, that means there's more. Because another name for Achron is Hosafa, which means there's more to come. Now, what's the hope? What's the hope? There could be in the next generation. What's Yishael saying? We're this close to a Tkufa Mashichit. We're ready to be God's people. We're ready to fulfill our biblical goal of being a light to other nations. Nachon yahar beit Hashem b'rosh ha'arim. V'nisam yigvot v'naru elav kol ha'goyim. Famous, isn't it? V'ochu amim rabim v'amru l'chum v'nai elav ha'ashem v'abit ha'la Yaakov v'ro'yinu mitrochav v'lechem mitrochav ki mitzion teitzit v'ra v'ashem Yerushalayim. V'shapat bin goyi v'ochiach l'amim rabim. V'chitu chorvotem leitim v'chantem v'mazmurot v'esa goyi go'acher v'lem 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 last part made it to the UN. That's the vision. How is that going to happen? If we're acting in a way that makes God look good, if our society is both talking about God, and our center is this big temple that spreads the name of God, and the society that surrounds it is known for its tzedek u'mishpat, like the visit of Malkat Shema. We said that with Shlomo. If we're doing our job, both how we talk and how we act, then we have a message for mankind. And then, therefore, the Navi says, Beit Yaakov l'chu b'necha bar Hashem. And then he begins to complain about them. He says like this, Pasuk Zayin. But the Malei Artso Kesef Zahav. Then Ketzel Atzotav. But the Merzo Susim, then Ketzel Merkabotav. The Merzo Lilim, the Masida Bishtach Bukashir Atzpotav. You see Parshat HaMelech there? You can't miss Parshat HaMelech. Okay. Now, but it's clear this is a time period of Uziel. Look at the wealth. But what's the problem? This is right to your Aleph. And then we have a nice song. What's going to be complaining about? What happens when there's too much prosperity? The prosperity turns to affluence, which leads to haughtiness. Right out of Hazinu. Okay. Now, to prove it, let's read carefully now from Pasuk Yud Bet. And now you understand why we say Ram V'Nisa in Davening. Remember, I'm trying to get back to Davening whenever possible. Remember? Ram V'Nisa, Gadol HaNorah. What else is that? Ram V'Nisa. Melech, Ach. Amelech, Hayoshev, Akise. Is the Kise Ram V'Nisa or is the Melech Ram V'Nisa?
That's the question.
Okay. Now, everyone knows it from Davening because it means, if you got there, it means, if you hear that, you got in time for Davening. Yeah. Why? Kiyom Hashem Tzvot Al Kol Ge Avaram Val Kol Nistav HaShafel. God has an issue with who? With the haughty. Al Kol Zeh Al-Avon HaRamim V'Hanisayim Val Kol Avon HaBashan. You see the repeat of Ram V'Nisa? Al Kol HaRim HaRamim Val Kol HaGvo'ot HaNisa'ot. Al Kol Niyot Tashish Val Kol Tzchiyot Chimda. The Shach Avot HaAdam V'Shafel Roman Hashim Yitzgav Hashem Levado B'Yamu. You understand his theme? What's he complaining about? God blessed you with prosperity. You took that prosperity and you have a disparity between the wealthy and the poor. And the wealthy become too wealthy, too affluent, too haughty. And instead of taking that prosperity and channeling it the way God wanted, God's angry with his people. And therefore God's going to come and punish. This leads on from Perek Gimel and Talad. We're not going to do all of it now. We have to get right to Perek Hei. Perek Hei is the conclusion of this unit. And you'll see how it's going to... I need Perek Hei to understand... To go back and finish up Perek Aleph. And the imagery, to understand why the book begins with Perek Aleph. Look at Perek Hei. It's the famous chapter of Yishayahu. At Perek Hei, Ashur na li didi shirat dodi lechamo, ker maya li didi bekerem ben shaman. Again, I want to bring this parak to show you, A, the beauty of Yishayahu, but how when you understand the time period and the setting and the imagery that's being invoked from Chumash, you begin to get the Navi's message. This is an nevuah from the time period again of Uziel. God's going to, the Navi is going to make up a ballad that's going to deliver his primary message. And what's he say? I'm going to sing a ballad for my friend, and my friend, I'll explain outside, and then we'll read the Pesukim inside. My friend was an entrepreneur and had a business adventure. He wanted to open up a winery in Israel. Okay? Golan, whatever it is. It's a great idea. It works even to this day. And he picks an area called Ben Shemen, which nowadays is named Ben Shemen, but the name comes from here. But it's a made-up name. It didn't. No, it's a made-up. Here, it's a real story. He made it up. But it's real. But it didn't happen.
I read that Ben Shemen.
What? Ben Shemen, like Ben.
What
Ben.
Is that
Shemen from Lashon Shemen? Ben anything is.
That's the Ben part. It's Shemen thing.
Lashon Shemen by Shmani Sharon as well.
It's not all the world. It's just general.
No, Shemen Lashon.
Ben
Shemen. Yeah, Ben Shemen is named after this parak.
Mishmani
Yaris. Okay. Mishmani Yaris. Rob the Gambit Tirosh. Okay. Now, what did he do? He wants to make the best wine. How do you make the best wine? I need the best grapes. How do I get the best grapes? I need a good farmer. I need a good vineyard. I need good soil. I need good vines. I need to make a perfect vineyard. Now, what do you do? I get the best soil, the best vines. Clean the soil, get rid of all the rocks, put up a fence around it, water it, irrigate it, guard it, you follow? And if I do all that, right, you better get good grapes. But that's as much as a farmer could possibly do. So let's see what he does. It's all in one pasuk. Again, Ashur ne didi shirat didi lachamol, ken ma didi bikerem ben shaman.
Which pasuk is it?
Pasuk betna. That was Aleph and Perek Hei. Okay. Vaisakeu, what's that mean? You get rid of the rocks. Vaita'eu, he planted it. Sorek, nice and straight. Vaiven migdal betocho, put a watchtower. Kam yekev chatzabo, means he has his wine press already ready there to take the grapes when they grow. Vaikav lasot anavim, what's that mean? He hoped for good grapes. Vayas bushim, he got sour grapes. Boy, is he disappointed. He's not a happy farmer. No. And who's he going to do now? He put so much effort into it, you got to blame somebody. he's going to take his vineyard to court. And who's going to judge between... He wants a trial between himself and the vineyard. Who's to blame for this? Understand what's happening? It's Shira Tazino again. Who's to blame for the fiasco? Right? Remember the word shiftu? I want you to judge between me and my kerem. Who's to blame for the failure? Look at all the money I invested. Who's to blame for this? Tell me if there's something I could have done. I the farmer. If there's something I could have done to make these grapes grow better, tell me and I would have done it. Tell me one thing that I'm to blame for. And I'll take responsibility. Okay? Why was I hoping for good grapes? I did everything I could have done, and instead I got bad grapes. Now, the judgment is clear. Who's to blame? The vine, the kerem, the vineyard. The vineyard. And therefore, he's so angry, he's going to... Ooh, like a kid gets angry, I'm going to rip it apart. I'm going to stop watching it, I'm going to open up the fence and let that animal just run over it. I'm going to stop watering it. I'm going to just let it rot. Let the animals take over. It's going to be wiped out. Do you understand the analogy? No, who's? What? God was, now God's hands off. God's going to let the Ashur come in, wipe us out. I had great hopes for my people. You see what's happening? What was God doing? God was a farmer. And Am Yisrael are the vines. It's the vineyard. And there's only so much that God can do for us. He can give us prosperity. He can give us rain at the right time. He can give us a good land. He can give us quiet. He can guard us. He can put up a fence around our nation. He can save us from missiles. He can save us from everything. But there's one thing God can't do for us. He can't do tzedek u'mishpat. He can't do what man has to do. He can't do acts of chesed. We have to do that for him. That's Avraham Avinu. But that we can't do. And listen to what he says now. And that's why he's so disappointed. I helped you as much as you can, but how much more can I help you? The Ikar you didn't do. Now he says as follows. Kicherem ayal Hashem tzvot beit Yisrael. What was the cherem of God? House of Israel. V'ish Yehuda netash hashuav. The vines. The best vines are the people of Yehuda. Listen to what he says. V'ikav v'mishpat v'nei mispach. V'tztaka v'nei tzaka. Follow? See the poetry there? By kavla sotan avim v'yas bushim, he was hoping for grapes. He got sour grapes. By kavla mishpat, v'nei mispach.
What is
mispach? Iniquity?
Affliction.
Okay?
Affliction.
Okay? It's wordplay. Litztaka v'nei tzaka. He was hoping for tzaka and he got cry of oppression. Tzakat sobra maki rabba. Now, by kavla mishpat v'nei mispach. Litztaka v'nei tzaka. You understand the theme of Mishpat Utztaka? Now, the punishment doesn't come in the time of Uziel. Uziel, things are still great. But the Navi warns them in the time of Uziel. This is the warning when things are great. And it falls on deaf ears. Remember, this Nevoah, Perek Bet Petruhei, is the time of Uziel when everyone's wealthy and everything's great and Ashur is simply, they're nothing yet. They're just a new growing society. They didn't become imperialistic yet. They didn't start conquering yet. And Israel's doing great. And everyone's wonderful. And what comes this rabbi tells the people, no, this prosperity is thanks to God. And channel your prosperity the right way. You're taking your prosperity and becoming affluent and haughty and obnoxious. And he puts an end to it. And he calls it, you're worshipping yourselves. You become your own idols. That's the pasuk we skipped in Perek Bet, pasuk Vav. The people are bowing down to their own. Their idols are them, are what they make themselves. The Masiyah Davi Shtachavu. And he warns, and it falls on deaf ears. What happens next? Ashur comes in and starts taking away our greatness. They start winning, and our borders start shrinking. This happens during Yotam. Even though the people are still religious, and the people get angry, to the point that Ahaz is so angry with God for not helping them. He closes down the temple and starts serving Ashur. And that makes things even worse. Chizkel comes and turns things around and starts worshipping God. But how does he motivate the people to worship God? Let's pray to God instead of to the gods of Ashur. And God's going to come and help us. But he doesn't fix society. And that's Yeshayahu's primary message. And therefore, the first parak, I'll call it maybe it's a medley? Maybe that's not a good word for it. But I'm trying to get at, is this is Yeshayahu's key message. And in the first parak, he's bringing down his primary message in the time of Chizkiyahu, explaining why did things get so bad? Why did Lachish fall? Why did Yeshayahu's tshuva not, why was Chizkiyahu's tshuva not strong enough for God to come and help them? Why did God allow Ashur to defeat them? And his main theme is, like he said, was the lack of tzedek mishpat. Now, it all began in the time of Uzziel. If you don't know the time period of Uzziel, you wouldn't understand it in the time of Chizkiyahu. But it's been his mantra since he began. He was warning that from the very beginning. And that's why you need the time, if you don't understand the time setting, and how good things were in the beginning of his career, and how bad things get towards the end, and how firm people were in the middle, and with the ups and downs, especially Chizkiyahu's tremendous tshuva, and the Pesach he does, you can't begin to appreciate how powerful that message is. And that's his Lama Libra of Slichachem. Therefore, what does the book do? It takes a chapter which chronologically should have been much later. It's having to explain the fall of Lachish and Ashur's victory over most of Yehuda, even though they're saved at the last minute, but it's a terrific victory compared to what they had before. Basically, it's Churban. It's almost total Churban, except Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. And the opening parak has to explain what is the key thing that Am Yisrael is doing wrong. All in the background of Shirat Hazino, who's to blame? Because the people are clearly blaming God. And Yishayahu was answering back, don't blame God, blame yourselves. For what you did with your prosperity, the society you built, what you could have done, and what you missed instead. Now, why is he using the words of Stone? Why is he using imagery from Stone and Amorah and Tzedek HaMishpat? Then we have 5 minutes to just review last week's Parshat Shavua, which I'm assuming you all know. I just want to review it to make sure it's crystal clear. In a nutshell, we'll go like this. Perek Yudchet, if you want, look in your regular Chumash as well. Perek Yudchet and Yutet and Brishi are one big Parshia. Way too long. But what keeps everything together? The three angels. Everyone knows the three angels, each one has a job. One for the birth of Yitzchak, one to save Lot, one to destroy Sodom, but they're sharing a taxi. No. Which means there's something connected between them. Now, the first topic in Perek Yudchet is Hachnasat Orchim. Chumash goes out of the way to show how Avram is Machnis Orchim, the first eight psukim, and Rashi embellishes it even more. Rightly so. The next set of psukim, the Pasuk Tevav, is the news of the birth of Yitzchak, and it's no laughing matter. And remember, they need to tell him that Yitzchak's going to be born. Now, from what you remember, what happens next? The same Malachim who tell Yitzchak can have a child, then come tell Avram what? What about Sodom? God's coming to destroy Sodom. And then what's Avram do? Covenants for Sodom. Remember that? And then what happens? God just says, sorry, no. He doesn't answer his prayer. Yeah, and they leave and they come and destroy Sodom and save Lot. That's not punish. God doesn't tell Avram, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Take a look in Pasuk Chaf on the page. Listen to the first words God tell Avram Avinu about Sodom. Vayomer Hashem, it's right out of Egypt. Zdagat Sodom v'amar ki rabba v'chatam ki kavda mod. Remember, tzaka b'yisra ba'ilai. Erdana v'ere, which means what? I'm not going to go and destroy, I'm going to go check it out. Remember? V'ere latzilom ma'am mitzayim. We're all right here, v'ni amesh v'ere mitzayim. Tzakatam shamati v'nei noksav. It's a micro of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim story. That's why he's eating matzah. Now, for sure that's what's going on. Yeah. God is clearly saying, I'm going to check it out. Is it beyond repair, yes or no? How does God check it out? He sends these two Anashim who came to visit him now become Malachim in Perek Yudchet. Because now they're sent by God to check out the city. To see what? Is it worth saving? Now, Avram, after being told that God's going to check out the city, wants to clarify how many tzaddikim have to be in the city to be worthy of saving. Because God told him, I'm going to check it out, which implies it depends on the ratio. And therefore, Avram's opening bid, he wants to clarify and understand the ways of God. And he begins, if you're 50, that's a low bid already. Would you save him for 50? And God says, you know what, for 50 I'd even save them. Not save the tzaddikim, save the entire city. And then 45. What's the logic? If a small group of people in a wicked society are doing tzedek mishpat, are doing good, then that's a reason to give the rest of the society another chance. And which is the very concept of Avram, of Am Yisrael. And God says, even a minion still might would save the city. But they don't find a minion. Because when they come, remember what they find? Everyone but Lot, maybe his daughters, everyone else is evil. And Lot is judgmental of them. He says, you guys are evil. And remember, he said, I'd rather give you my two daughters. And they said, you're being judgmental of us? And that's the story of Sodom, which I don't want to go into. But I want to make it clear that's what's happening in Sodom. Now, what's the connection between that and the birth of Yitzchak? Chumash has to explain now, what's the connection between the birth of Yitzchak and the story of Sodom? And why is it that God has to share with Avram Avinu what he's doing to Sodom, even though it's not going to help? Why does Avram need to know the ways of God? Because his prayer is not answered. God doesn't save Sodom. But it's important that Avram clarifies that God is willing to save Sodom for a small group of righteous people, because it's that concept which is going to be the key to Am Yisrael. Now, Chumash says it in Pasuk Yud Zayin through Yotet, which are famous. I want to make sure I want to clarify now that this is the basis of the first six Parkim of Yishayel. Vashem Amar. Have it, Pasuk Yud Zayin, on the page I gave you? Vashem Amar. Doesn't mean God said. God had said. Chumash is talking to you, the reader. It's a deep voice narrator connecting between the previous story and the next story. Before Chumash tells us God's conversation with Avraham Avinu, Chumash tells the reader why this conversation is important to Chumash. This is a footnote in Chumash. Vashem, God had said, "Ham chasani Avram asher ni yoseh." Can I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? What's God about to do? No. He's not going to destroy Sodom. He's going to check out Sodom to see if it's worth saving. He missed the whole point. God, I have to tell Avram I'm going to check out the city to see if it's worth saving. Why does Avram need to know that? God chose Avram to become a great nation. That's his destiny. That's not what will be. It's what can be. It's what can happen with Am Yisrael. And through that, they'll bring blessing to mankind. Not that they'll be blessed, but they'll bring blessing by being a model. Ki datid, because I came to know him. Not God knows, but God doesn't know what they will do. God came to know them, so they should do. You have to read this carefully. It's often misread. Not God knows we're going to do this. God chose us in order that we do this. Ki datid, not yadati. Ki datid, I came to know him. L'man asher yitzaved banav v'bitol charav. Avram had to command his children and they their children. V'shamru derech Hashem. L'asot tzedakah mishpat. L'man avi Hashem Avram et asher diber alav. What's he commanding his children? To follow the ways of God. And what are the ways of God? Right out of Yishayahu, doing tzedakah mishpat. In order that God's vision for Am Yisrael to be a light to other nations, to bring blessing to mankind, will be fulfilled. Am Yisrael has to do tzedakah mishpat. And therefore, Yishayahu roots his entire nevuah in this parak. Because here in Sefer Bereshit, Chumash is finally explaining to the reader why was it that God picked a nation. God wants a model nation that if mankind, no matter how bad they are, and God wants man to be good, look what happened with the flood. God can destroy mankind again. He promised after the flood he won't do that again. And therefore, he takes one nation, enters a special relationship with that nation, charges them to serve him by being God's model nation, by being characterized by Tzedek HaMishpat, and that message, and that legacy, Avram has to teach his children, and they their children, and now we see the connection to the birth of Yitzchak. That's why the same Malachim have to tell Avram, you're going to have a child, and that's the legacy of that child. And that has to begin the nation of Israel. And the story of Sodom is going to be intricately related to the legacy of Avram teaching that message of Tzedek Mishpat to his offspring. And what I'm trying to suggest is, Yishayahu understands this in Sefer Bereshit, and that's why it's so central in this Nevuah. And that's why he says in the beginning, "Ki stoma yinu kamar deminu." And that's why he uses in Mashal HaKerem, Yishayahu needs a biblical reason. He can't make up something new. He has to bring a biblical reason. Why is it that God's not listening to their prayers? Why is that shore so successful? What has Am Yisrael done wrong? They're praying, they're davening. He has to explain, why is he saying, "Lema libo v'zichechem"? And why is he saying, "I'm not listening to your prayers"? Because your society is missing Tzedek HaMishpat. I've given you prosperity, you didn't channel it the right way. It's the most powerful message a Nabi can give, and it falls on deaf ears. But he's basing it on Chumash. And that's why his imagery from Mizinu and from Bereshit is so powerful. And don't tell me Shemayim V'Arz isn't from Bereshit. There was the imagery in Mizinu is built on Bereshit. Remember, Shemayim V'Arz is the beginning of Perek Aleph, Adam 1 and Adam 2. Yeah, quickly, question? Yeah, Bernie. Bernie.
I'm just bothered a little bit. This notion of a good mute can save a bad rogue. From what you're saying, it would be better if that were part of God's pronouncement. That seems to be Avram's idea.
What do you mean?
Well, all Hashem says is, I'm going to investigate.
Yeah?
It's Avram who starts the notion of if there's a
sin. No, when God says I'm going to check it out, what's that imply? Is it worth saving? Is it beyond repair? Yes
it
or no?
Imply,
I think that's what implies that. And therefore, that's, I mean, it's clearly how Avram understood it.
Haptispet?
No, it's no. He says, surely you wouldn't kill a tzaddik with a sword. That's not even on the table.
No, but it assumes destruction.
Yeah, remember? That's for sure. Right? But would you be willing to do more than that? In other words, for sure you'll do mishpat. Would you also do tzedakah?
So
yeah.
You're saying Avram's chiddush should not be point, but the degree.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why he's clarifying. And that explains the masav matan. Okay. Clarifying even 10. Now, I can take the same 10 of a minion, and 10 rotten apples can ruin the core. That's the maraglim. And therefore we use the same 10 to get a minion from the Eidah Hara. But a small group of people can have a tremendous effect on a whole community. Right? Anyway, that's our... So we got through Hashim. We got one. We got Birchat HaShachar, okay, Hanten Lev Koach, and we got which is all about Gula. That's Kavash Shofar Gadol HaKerotenu in depth, and Hashiva Shatenu for Rishonah, right out of Yishayel. And now you understand why it's in Shmon Esrei and why it's in Yishayel. And it's, I want you to appreciate Yishayel is beautiful, but when we understand the Chumash he's quoting and what he's and the imagery he's using is message, and if you know the history behind it. So make some of. There's a reason why all the Haftorah come from Yishayel. It's the same reason if you don't know Chumash, you can't appreciate Yishayel. If you don't know the time period, and then if it just becomes a Haftorah, it's something to read for Bar Mitzvah, then you miss the whole point. And don't tell me there's a message here for our generation. Okay, I have to stop here. Everyone have a good, hopefully better weather and better times. I'm wary about traveling here in the winter. I had a rough trip this time. I'll be back in February probably.
When are you going back?
Tonight. I'm going back to Israel tonight. Yeah. United. Do you want to
be going also?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Are you in Shiba?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's do that.
Yeah. Remember, came to Yerushalayim with my friend Esther Hamm.
Oh, that's right. That was
Debbie Rapp. That's my sister as well. Yeah, she just came to visit.
Are you coming tomorrow? I need to ride from the airport tomorrow so you can have... If anyone wants extra source sheets, I have on set, all these things at Tzedek and Mishpat here. You can pass these around.
I'm actually going to Israel on Wednesday. We're making a wedding next week. So.
Yes, are you doing something tomorrow, locally?
I'm going to Israel tonight.
Oh, okay.
So I'll teach you tomorrow. Okay.
Contact with your touch, but I live in
Rishon LeZion.
It's not like a holy city.
So here.
How do I know?
Yeah, thanks. My website's over there.
Your website? Okay.
Let me get my stuff together. No, I actually hope to.